This is instructions by Maharaj Prithu, chapter 21, verse 48. Viravarya pita prithya,
Viravarya pita prithya,
Samasam jiva shashvati,
Samasam jiva shashvati,
Yasi drishat chute bhakti,
Yasi drishat chute bhakti,
Savalokai kabartari,
Savalokai
Viravarya pita prithya,
Viravarya pita prithya,
Samasam jiva shashvati,
Samasam jiva shashvati,
Yasyandrishyat chute bhakti,
Yasyandrishyat chute bhakti,
Sarvalokai kabartari.
Translation. All the saintly Brahmins thus address Prithu Maharaj. O best of the warriors, O father of this globe, may you be blessed with a long life, for you have great devotion to the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Master of all the universe. Please repeat. All the saintly Brahmins,
all the saintly Brahmins,
thus address Prithu Maharaj. O best of the warriors,
O
father of this globe,
may you be blessed
with a long life,
for you have great devotion
to the infallible Supreme Personality of God,
who is the Master of all the universe.
Report by Srila Prabhupada. Prithu Maharaj was blessed by the saintly persons present at the meeting to have a long life because of his unflinching faith and his devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although one's duration of life is limited in years, if by chance one becomes a devotee, he surpasses the duration prescribed for his life. Indeed, sometimes yogis die according to their wish, not according to the laws of material nature. Another feature of a devotee is that he lives forever because of his infallible devotion to the Lord. It is said, Kirtir Jasya Sajivati. One who leaves a good reputation behind him lives forever. Specifically, one who is reputed as a devotee of the Lord undoubtedly lives forever. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking with Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, what is the greatest reputation? Ramananda Roy replied that a person who is reputed as a great devotee has the greatest reputation. For a devotee not only lives forever in the Vaikuntha planets, but by his reputation, he also lives forever within this material world. Om Ghanatim Dandasya Ghanam Vina Sarapaya Chakshuru Miritam Vina Tasmaya Shri Guru Vina Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Shri Rita Gradha Shri Vasa Riga Uda Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama.
All the saintly Brahmins thus address Prithu Maharaj, O best of warriors, O father of this globe, may you be blessed with a long life, for you have great devotion to the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Master of all the universe. Here, the theme of both the verse in Srila Prabhupada's purport is Kirtiryasya Sajivati. It's embodied in those words. One who leaves a good reputation behind him lives forever. Although Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, when he's encouraging Arjuna, then that one shouldn't be too much attached to being credited or discredited, being famous or infamous. But there he's talking about it as a consequence of performing one's duty. That everyone requires to perform their duty, and in the discharge of someone's duty, then it's inevitable that some people dislike you. Krishna was disliked for the performance of his duty even to this very day, because he's inciting Arjuna to fight a war which generally people identify as being a religious war, which is not really quite the case. Usually when you use the word a religious war, it means a war between two religions. My religion is better than your religion. That wasn't really the topic at hand. Krishna was explaining to Arjuna how to execute his duty as a Kshatriya in a religious way, and the religious purpose why he should fight and why he should perform his duty. But it wasn't because his religion happened to be better than Duryodhana's religion. So when we talk about religious, it's a little different. The religious purpose Krishna is encouraging in the Gita, but still, people don't like some of the things that Krishna says. They don't like some of the things that Krishna does. They don't like the fact that he goes off in the dead of night to dance with other people's wives, and so much so that even certain Vaishnavas don't consider that Krishna's Kaishwar Lila is pure, that they consider it's impure. They consider Krishna's Bala Lila, Krishna's Lila as a little child, because that's a generally a materialistic philosophy that children are pure. So they worship Krishna like that. They won't worship Radha and Krishna, they just worship Bala Krishna. And then what to speak of then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, the same was there. Mayavadis criticized them for dancing and chanting, that it was sentimentalism. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing his duty, and he didn't really care what opinion they had. And then coming down, Jiva Goswami was under so much scrutiny for being too much of a scholar. He was always walking around with books and always quoting Shastra, so people thought this is too much. And of course, Srila Prabhupada was criticized for taking Krishna consciousness to the West, for giving it to Westerners, for initiating Brahmins, for initiating sannyasis, and so many things. But still, Krishna says, labha labha jaya jaya. But when you're doing your duty, then you shouldn't be concerned about one's fame. On the other hand, one should be concerned about reputation, because the reputation of a Vaishnava is the Agaracha that Tishri says. It's something that people can follow. It's an example that people can emulate. If a Vaishnava doesn't actually show the proper example, then people will follow that, and they'll follow the wrong example. So in that sense, that reputation is an important thing as example for others to follow, and it's a source of inspiration. So that's how we draw so much inspiration from Srila Prabhupada's example. Srila Prabhupada's perfect example. And it inspires us also to be perfect. So in that sense here, it's also stated that Sanjeeva Shashwati, that he should live forever. Why? By dint of his bhakti, by dint of his devotion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, although I forget the verse, that for instance a sannyasi, the reputation of a sannyasi is like a white sheet, and just the smallest little blot on it is immediately visible. You just imagine it. Sheet, and you have just a little ink spot somewhere, it immediately shows up because there's such a contrast. So the contrast between just a little deviation and what you expect of a person, what you expect of a Vaishnava. Here now you're not even speaking about a Vaishnava, you're speaking about an entire incarnation of the Lord. What you expect of a sannyasi, what you expect of a guru, what you expect of a Brahmin, of an elderly devotee, all of these have high expectations. So immediately some little misbehavior then it immediately shows up. And people then see that. And what does it mean that they see some bad behavior or some other inappropriate conduct? It means that for a conditioned soul, but he did it, then I can do it. I remember before I joined Krishna Consciousness, and I was looking for different religious alternatives to the other religions that I'd already known, come in contact with, and this new yoga society had started. And so I went there, and they were practicing like type of hatha yoga, and it wasn't such a rigorous thing. And went a couple of times, and by that time I'd already actually had a Krishna book. So he told me that he announced the yoga master, teacher, that once a month they have this special celebration, festivity that they hold at night. And they follow Krishna's example of how Krishna danced with the gopis, and how, you know, all the men and women, they come and they have a night-long dance. I never found out what that night-long dance entailed. But even at that time I was married, so even when I just, my wife was also there, and we figured this is not right. Just because Krishna did something, then we should do that. But people do that. Well, he did it. So then why shouldn't we do it? And of course, there's a lot of reasons why you shouldn't do what Krishna did. And what Krishna did, he does as his freedom as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's something that you can't imitate. But people will automatically use that. They will point out any little excuse for not following the standard, and they will try to follow that. And then if someone actually has such a reputation for being a pure devotee, for practicing pure devotional service, then yes, kirti yasya jivati, then he should live forever. Brahmins are giving a blessing to Prithu Maharaj, although it's questionable whether they're really in a position to do so, spiritually speaking, because he's no different than Krishna. But still, in the social structure, Prithu Maharaj is a Kshatriya, and the Brahmins are, in that sense, in a position to give blessings to everyone. So they're the gurus of all of the other varnas, so yes, they should give blessings, just like Krishna. Krishna also greeted Sudan Vipra. Of course, he was also a friend, not just a Brahmin, but he washed his feet, he sat him on his own bed, he fed him, took care of him, he showed respect. Narada Muni was more in a position of a guru, more of an official relationship. As soon as he walked in the palace, immediately Krishna got off his throne, sat him on his throne. So, even though, of course, Krishna doesn't have to stand up for anyone, he doesn't have to receive anyone, because Uchide Yurme Loka Nakurya, so Krishna follows that. If I don't show the example, then others won't also. This fame is a phenomena that isn't just something that goes as a consequence of history. History records someone as being famous because they did something great, or because they lived a perfect life. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Kaviraj Goswami describes that actually Krishna glorifies his devotee. He glorifies his pure devotee, because that's his pastime. And this is there in the story of Madhavendra Puri. Arvinda Puri had this real desire to taste the kheer of Sri Chul Gopinath so that he could then cook the same for Gopal. And as you know, the pastime is that the Lord actually stole the pot of kheer for him. But Madhavendra Puri then got it, he tasted it, but he knew this is, as soon as this gets out, people are going to come flocking to me because they're going to think, oh, he's a great person. And Vaishnavas don't like to be thought of as being great. It's dangerous, certainly for conditioned souls. It can inflate one's false ego. It becomes a kutinati, jiva, hingsa, lova, puja, nishidachara. Lova, puja, comes from this desire to be worshipped, desire for recognition and fame. So the devotees don't like that. But exalted devotees don't like it either, because although they may not be at risk, still they want all glorification to go to Krishna. They don't want to be the object of glorification. But Krishna wants to glorify the devotees, because he takes pleasure in that. So he disappeared in the dead of night and headed off to Jagannath Puri. But by the time he got to Jagannath Puri, the word had spread. And then both in the verse and the purport, that it's explained that Krishna wanted the word to be spread. He wanted people to know how great a devotee is, because ultimately it's only by knowing of the greatness of the Vaishnava. Do devotees have faith in Vaishnavas? And do devotees have faith in Krishna? So what's the use of Krishna consciousness if the devotees don't become great? If they just stay ungreat, if they just stay ordinary. Krishna consciousness becomes very, very wonderful when it works. If it doesn't work, if it's a philosophy, if it's nice theory, it's nice to preach, but there's no living examples, then what's the value? Yogada acara. So where's the acara? And that's what devotees are meant to be. They're meant to be an acharya, because that will inspire others. And of course we have technical acharyas, like Brahmins are acharyas, sannyasis are meant to be gurus for everyone. But then there's the real acharyas, who are actually examples by dint of their spiritual advancement. Shukadeva Goswami came in, and there were like thousands and thousands of Brahmins and sages who were older than him, who were sannyasis, who were technically renounced. We say Shukadeva Goswami, but there was never any sannyas ceremony. He never officially took sannyas. He never became a Goswami. The most you can say technically, he remained a brahmacharya. But even that, there was no real reformatory process. Still, as soon as he came in, everyone stood up. They just looked at him, and they could immediately understand from this amazing science of physiognomy that not only was this person very pious, not only did he have good samskars, he had to have good samskars as far as Vyasa, but that he was so spiritually exalted. And so he was young, he wasn't even dressed, he didn't even speak to other people until it was time to speak Bhagavatam. He wasn't anything. He didn't even fit into the Varnashram system. But still, by a spiritual advancement. And that's the real advancement. As, for instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also showed in the example of Haridas Thakur. He was, technically speaking, untouchable and so many other things, but still, he was the most advanced. Therefore, made him the Namacharya,